just like they had been laid there by Joseph of Arimathea. And yet Jesus' body had been raised and was completely out of that. Not only that, John makes a really good point over in the next couple of few chapters about how the concave shape of the turban that they wrapped around the head was still laying over by itself in a different place, making just enough room for the neck and the face of Jesus. Undisturbed grave clothes. No wonder they were bidden, come see the place where the Lord lay. No wonder when they saw it, they saw and they believed, because they witnessed a real miraculous event. In the case of Jesus, it was a real resurrection. Everybody that witnessed it realized they had reached a crucible in their life. The Bible says that some believed, many believed, in fact. Some didn't. They were still skeptical. In fact, they were more beyond skeptical. They were actually angry. And so they went to tell the Sanhedrin, the authorities, of what they had seen. The authorities concluded that Jesus was already gone too far. But with this, many, in fact, the Sanhedrin high priest said, if we let this go, they will all believe on him. And I'll tell you, that's the truth. When you understand the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when you've become a witness in your soul by the bearing witness of the disciples and by the living word of God, you become a believer. When you're brought to the resurrection and the life, you hear him say, because I live, you shall live also. And so this was incredible, powerful event. And the Sanhedrin knew it. And the Bible says that they begin their plot to kill him. Lazarus was walking, talking, bearing witness. In fact, they threw a big party 6 days before the Passover, which was right next up to Palm Sunday. They had a party. They had a banquet. And as you can imagine, Martha was hosting and Mary was cooking. She was the one who seemed to always be in the kitchen, but taking care of everything. Martha was always in the kitchen taking care of everything, hosting the party, and Mary was at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus was there, reclining, ready to be served. His disciples were there. The party that had witnessed all of the resurrection events of Lazarus were there. They were going to have a celebration. And Mary took out a bottle of spikenard, myrrh, a burial ointment with an extremely strong odor. And whereas Martha had been worried about the odor at the tomb of death, here was something that was happening. Mary took that little, literally in the Greek it says liter, but it's not our liter, it was a Roman measurement, about 12 ounces. There was a man that knew finances in the group, Judas Iscariot. He kept the bag. He kept the money. He was always keeping up with the price tag. And he looked at it and estimated that 12-ounce little vessel of nard was worth 300 denarii. A denarii was a day's wage. 300 denarii is a year's worth of work. And that was the cost of that. And she took that flask and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. Some have suggested, and I remember years ago, Skip Ryan giving a very vivid illustration about this, how that this particular nard probably was so strong in its pungent odor that it would remain upon a body for days and days and days. The odor. This odor stayed on Jesus' body that whole week. It was on his body when they laid him in the tomb. It was a pouring out of the precious sacrifice, an indicator of one of the gifts that the Magi had brought. Here's the emphasis upon not death, but upon burial. It's important to remember that Jesus really died. He just didn't swoon. He just didn't faint. He just wasn't in temporary shock. And then in the coolness of the tomb, he revived and rejuvenated himself and was able to get up and go and convince his disciples that after that awful beating and that awful crucifixion ordeal, that he was just fine, that he had been raised from the dead. No, Christ had really died. And that burial ointment was the sealing significance of that burial. And Jesus came out of the tomb. What is the whole point, as I said before? Let's just look at a few things in the scripture. Number one, throughout all this ordeal, notice the emotions of Jesus. In verse 5 of the chapter, it says that Jesus loved, and it's the word agape, he loved Lazarus. In fact, when they sent for him, they said, "This is the man that you love. Come, he's sick." When Jesus saw the multitude of the throng around the grieving ordeal that was going on there, the Bible says that he was deeply moved. And actually, the word is Jesus was moved with an emotive force that was approaching adrenal anger. Nothing in the world was more repugnant to him than the thought of death. And Jesus, from all eternity, he said, "I will come and I will be the death of death in my death." And Jesus, I believe, at that point was more resolved than ever to go to the cross so that not only Lazarus could live, Mary could live, Martha could live, the believers around them could live, but that you and I can live forevermore. In fact, it says that when the people saw Jesus in that state of grief, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. And the observation was that they looked at it and said, "Behold how much he loved Lazarus." The word there is not agape, it's phileo. A brotherly love, a kinship that is supportive and mutually supportive, a wholesome and healthy kind of love for his fellow man. It must have been some kind of indicator of that which the Father had imparted to the Son when he says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish." And then it said, just before the resurrection of Lazarus, that Jesus was deeply moved again. This notion of our salvation, Christ dying for our sin and in our place, being buried in the tomb and there resting all day Saturday, resting on the Sabbath in the tomb, fulfilling all of the rest and Sabbath law, it is finished, it's over, being there honoring Shabbat, which is quit, stop, no more of your own works, the work of the Lord, and then being raised upon the first day, the third day from the crucifixion, raised upon the first day of the week, there on Easter Sunday morning, the very first one. This is an operation. This is a plan fulfilled. This is what God intended for us to catch: the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Notice a sequence of verses beginning in verse 42. "So that Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I have said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me.'" And then verse 45, "And many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed on him." And then verse 48, this is now the chief priest of the council saying, "If we let him go on like this, everyone would believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. But one of them, Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it's better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." He didn't realize what he was saying. He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation. And not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. That was the purpose, was to gather into one not only the nation of Israel, but to bring into that nation, to bring them in as wild olive branches, grafted into that nation, into the Israel of God, into the true new Israel. All of God's children. Where do you stand this morning? Are you one of God's children? Have you believed? Has the resurrection of Jesus Christ made any difference to you at all? He said, "Because I live, you shall live also." Your faith, your trust goes into him and what he did. Died for you, was buried, rose again for your justification. Hear him this morning. Call upon him this morning. Receive him this morning. Be eternally saved. Join with all of God's children one day in that great harvest, that great gathering known as the resurrection of the dead.